big box stores, whether as part of a larger complex or as a standalone destination, can be a major source of revenue for a local government, and not just because of sales taxes. These sprawling sites are also an important source of property taxes, but only if they're properly assessed, which is not always the case, according to State Senator Jim Gorin, who sponsored legislation that made its way through the Capitol this year that creates new guidelines to ensure these locations are paying their fair share. The Long Island Democrat, who also chairs the Chamber's Local Government Committee, joins us now to talk about this bill and other issues with his local government hat on. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So can you walk us through the problem that your so-called dark store bill is designed to address?
Sure. Well, there has been a disturbing trend in very recent years where a large, pretty much chain, big box store will go out of business. It will be empty. And then there, the owner of the property, sometimes, it's the chain themselves, but, sometimes it's it's somebody else owns the property. They will go and they will file, a challenge to taxes, a tax certiorari challenge, and often get a significant reduction based on the fact that the store can't be, rented out and used for some other purpose and then get that reduction legitimately in court. What is happening, though, is that a property owner or a chain store that may also own the physical real estate in, some other that community or maybe some other community nearby will now go and bring the same challenge and win, except the major difference is they have a fully operating, functioning, vibrant store. And so the problem with that is that there's an inherent unfairness in that. And the result of that is that the shift in taxation goes to the residents of that community and often the mom and pop stores, that are struggling. Sometimes it could literally even be a mom and pop store that's struggling to survive against a big chain store that comes in, and the chain store gets the reduction in taxes, and the mom and pop store is paying, is paying more. So that essentially it is just to try to even the playing field and allow assessors to use the tools that they have, but to recognize the inherent really unfairness of this sort of a legal doctrine, so to speak, that's now being imposed on many communities through the courts.
So what is it about your bill, which was approved by you and your colleagues, that would level the playing field?
It essentially says that they can no longer do that, okay? That they can no longer just basically say that a retail drugstore, chain store, in one place that's empty and one that's fully vibrant, the vibrant store is going to get, the exact same reduction. They can, they have now the ability to look at the circumstances, surrounding any piece of commercial property when the action is brought before them, or when the assessment challenge is brought before them.
In the process of examining this issue and coming up with a solution, what was your take or your assessment of the local assessing process and resources that are available throughout the state? Is this an area that is ripe for more and additional reform, or after this tweak, is everything all set?
I believe that this law solves this problem. Certainly there are assessment issues all over the state, I do firmly believe in, local control. So different communities have different practices in terms of, how properties are assessed. And I think that's important as well, simply because, the cost of living, on Long Island and the cost of housing is so much higher than it may be, parts of upstate New York. So I think it's important to, to have local control. But this legislation developed out of a very particular series of lawsuits that were brought, and it really gives the tools to the municipality now to deal with this. And this is actually something that was pushed by the Association of Towns, the New York Conference of Mayors. You know, municipal officials were very much looking for this because it's just the basic unfairness. Now, everybody's residential property tax is going up, and then there's sort of this tax windfall to a fully operating business, usually a major national chain.
Did you get any pushback in the process of crafting and then advancing this legislation from some of the chains or property owners who have benefited from?
Oh, sure. There were concerns, and we, there were some technical issues that, we fixed along the way. And yeah, there was some concerns from some of the larger retail chains, but I just felt, very strongly that, we need to protect the taxpayers of the state, and also, the neighborhood mom and pop businesses who are really hurting. And plus, I think it's important now because we're going to see a major transition, I believe, certainly on Long Island. We're already starting to see it, where many of these large chain stores are moving towards mostly online platforms. They're moving away from brick and mortar, and you're going to have a lot of these empty stores. So there also has to be a full program moving forward, I think, to help some of the property owners redesign these, shopping areas and big box stores, and sometimes they're part of a larger commercial center. And one of the things that we have to look at, and again, it's, to be decided community by community, but to see if we can come up with incentives to help redesign some of these empty spaces, which may never go back to a large superstore, and might even consider moving to residential housing or mixed-use commercial and residential.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking with Senate Local Government Committee Chair Jim Gorin. That future you've outlined could present some short-term headaches and potentially some long-term ones, but some short-term headaches in terms of property tax revenues, as there's that gap period where, a site is under development and really not being utilized. And like you said, someone else is going to have to foot the bill. Do you see a role for the state to come in and provide some sort of property tax relief in areas that are going through that kind of transition, or because that transition is going to likely be so widespread in communities across the state, is the scope of that type of problem something beyond the means of the state?
Well, I mean, I think to a large extent, communities are going to have to deal with it community by community. And that's also, gets to the issue, of industrial development agencies that exist. There are going to be needs, I think, project by project, community by community, to figure out ways to incentivize so that there can be, new economic development to replace something that's gone vacant. Because obviously, the flip side of the dark stores situation is with these stores, continue to remain vacant, then they're going to be taxed a lot less. And that burden is going to be shifted to everybody else. So it's also important to get these redesigns and reuse where necessary, working with local governments, obviously, have to deal with the land use, so that you're creating jobs, but you're also getting properties fully back on tax rolls. And and this also is a concern of foreclosures as well, and places going under, and then they're totally off the tax rolls for a while. So these are some challenging issues. I think the main role for the state is to try to provide economic incentives, where it makes the most sense.
Okay, so I want to pivot now to the issue of municipal budgets, because throughout 2020, and really until the American Rescue Plan was adopted in March, there was a gloom and doom narrative about the budgets of local governments due to declines in sales tax revenue during the pandemic and the potential for big state aid cuts. as a result of the American Rescue Plan, those big cuts in state aid never materialized, and some of the withholding money got paid back, and municipalities also got an injection of federal cash as part of the rescue plan. So considering all those moving parts and how things finally shook out, how would you describe the financial shape, you know, broadly speaking, of our local governments as we emerge from the pandemic?
Well, I think the combination of the assistance given by the federal government and, you know, being administered by the state, and the additional assistance the state has given, is, you know, most governments are doing quite well. And we, you know, recently have seen a big uptick, you know, way beyond what was projected in some of our tax revenues, mm-hmm. including sales tax revenues, which is a really great sign that, you know, we're coming out of this recovery. What I am concerned about for all municipalities, and also our school districts, I know, are concerned as well, in that this influx of federal money is not going to be replicated in the future. So it is very important, I believe, for governments to balance their budgets going forward, recognizing that this revenue isn't going to be there, at least coming directly from the federal government in the future. And so, you know, all levels of government have to be very careful, because you don't want to have a situation where now all of a sudden you've got all these huge budget shortfalls and you're looking to tax, you know, New Yorkers to make up for the difference. Now, the good news is, you know, the design of all this was to plug revenue holes because we weren't, you know, collecting sales tax and income tax and everything fell off. It was to plug the revenue holes. And with the way we see the economy coming back so strongly, theoretically, our state economic climate will be such so that our, you know, revenues coming in from taxation and other sources will be back to normal and we'll be able to, you know, meet the needs of the state moving forward. But there's going to have to be a balance, and there may be a gap between when the federal government dollars run out and when the, you know, increase dollars come in. And so that's why every single government across the state has to be very careful in managing its budget and planning, you know, just not one year after the other. You really got to have a, you know, 5-6 year plan going out as to where you think you're going to be, because we don't want to be in the situation where, you know, all of a sudden, we are, you know, we're cutting services. Now, many of these costs also go to pandemic-related costs, mm-hmm. okay, which hopefully we will not have again. But there needs to be some real balance moving forward.
Well, we've been speaking with Senate Local Government Committee Chair Jim Gorin. He's a Long Island Democrat. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. We'll talk soon.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.